Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Yellow Lunar Human, and it is the second day of the Blue Monkey Wave Spell. And it's the second day of the Blue Monkey Genesis, which I probably won't keep talking about. It's a really cool concept to know about the genesis. So I'm going to go through that one more time, but then it kind of fades. I think it's kind of like a esoteric concept. It is also the planetary moon, day 22. And I want to be honest, I am podcasting on Blue Magnetic Monkey. I am excited to podcast. I have like the mood of the blue monkey in me, so I wanted to jump in and be proactive. But it's possible that if you're listening on Yellow Lunar Human, or you've just lived through Yellow Lunar Human, that it wasn't as fun as Blue Magnetic Monkey. So I'll try to do a little presaging of why Yellow Lunar Human could be different than Blue Magnetic Monkey. The basic lesson that I have gleaned and I refer to here from time to time is that there's this like 1-2 punch of magnetic and lunar tone, the continuum there, whether it's days or moons or years. And the lesson is that if you have a really positive magnetic experience, it doesn't seem to have any obvious setbacks or difficulties, then it will appear in the lunar tone following. So if it's a magnetic day and it's going really great, then the lunar day might have the challenge embedded within it so that you know there is a challenge. And when I say the challenge, I'm going to say the shadow. Shadow and light, that's what the lunar tone delineates. The magnetic tone has shadow and light, and there's not distinction. The lunar tone distinguishes shadow from light and creates polarity so that we have clarity about what in our lives is kind of imbued with light and what is caught in the shadows that we will be bringing to the light, and how do we bring the light source that we have over into the shadow part of ourselves, and so on. I mean, there's just endless ways to speculate how shadow and light work together, but on the lunar day or in the lunar moon, or as we're in a lunar year, it's like a sorting process. Like, well, this part of my life is going pretty well. This part of my life is not. So if you're tired of that dynamic, I'm right there with you. It became kind of grueling for me in this planetary moon to revisit the heart of the year being in the lunar tone, the challenge of this blue lunar storm year. And we also went through some wave spells that I've talked about a bunch that challenge our peace and ease in certain ways. But in any case, if you have a difficult magnetic day, at least part of the day or part of the moon, part of the year is difficult, then you might find that the lunar tone brings you enough clarity, like enough liberation from what's difficult, that you actually really love it. So do you understand this formula?
I mean, nothing here is concrete, right? It's all fluid and it's all interpretive and it's all individualistic, and that it's your mystical dance with the Maya. But I guess I just throw that out, that my experience, I guess that I do try to kind of box these concepts in. That's part of my ego, and it's sort of how I normalize my mystical path. But so one of the lessons for me that I'm offering is just what I've said. Like, okay, so if the magnetic day is difficult, lunar day will be probably necessarily easier. If the magnetic day is easy, I don't know. Like, you just have to find that lunar shadow somewhere, and the shadow does feel like darkness. That's what it is. It's not like a figurative shadow. It's not like a mock shadow that you can pretend is hard. It's hardship because it's a part of you that is not used to the light, and we know how that feels. Like, it's the part of you that's squinting and resisting and having a hard time waking. And we'll get there. It'll waken right up. If it comes up as your shadow in a wave spell, then by the end of the wave spell, it has giant resolution. It has been brought into the light or integrated with light, and it doesn't stand out or alone as a significant undeveloped part of yourself or deficiency. So I said all that because I've had a pretty nice blue magnetic monkey day, and I have really enjoyed that some people know about the blue monkey genesis, or the fact that we went through the midpoint of the Zolk'in in the last day and a half. You know, I don't really think of being in the middle of the Zolk'in as the most, certainly not the most, and not really one of the most significant aspects of the Zolk'in. But I do really want everyone at this moment to understand that Jose Arguelles named the first half of the Zolk'in the Red Dragon Genesis and the second half Blue Monkey Genesis. And I doubt that that's original Mayan material. I think that's his channeled piece. And what I really got as we crossed this bridge into the Blue Monkey Genesis is just how different 130 days of Red Dragon energy is from 130 days of Blue Monkey, and to congratulate myself and you on what it means to be kind of lodged in the Red Dragon experience for that long. It's from the hieroglyph, just to keep it simple, the Red Dragon is a cauldron. It's a vessel with fire lit underneath it, and it represents the gestation in the womb again, and how we are warmed in our mother's uterine vessel. And it's also the story of, it's the origin story of the Maya, where everything comes from the dragon, the crocodile, and that there's such a parallel about how everything comes from the ocean, you know, in terms of evolution. So 130 days in the ocean, 130 days in a dark, warmed cauldron. It just describes a journey where I think we're very much cloistered and held in a rapid growth that is connected, like we're in an internal process of growth. And then blue monkeys, like tree climbing and all the kinds of anthropomorphized glee that we attribute to monkeys, that they just seem really carefree and dexterous and playful and free. And so that would be the child, you know, the emergent child in the second half of the Zolk'in. So we spent 130 days. None of this is like literal, but like, oh, we spend the first half inside the mother and the second half emerge from the mother. Again, that's not the length of gestation, 130 days, and then we pop out. But you can think about, oh, well, are the first 130 days of gestation, i.e. the first half, the first 4.5 months, you know, maybe that's when the development of the seedling of a baby being is just absolutely, I mean, obviously dependent on the mother and being within the uterus and connect up to all of her blood flow and oxygen and all of that. But is the second half of this gestation process, you know, more distinguishably like a developing individualized being in utero? Like, this is a question. Like, if you look at the sonogram, is it more obviously like a little person after 130 days and more of like a little peanut the first 130? So, you know, there you go. Those are just this idea that we're replicating gestation, human gestation in the womb over and over for 260 days, and that is really the backbone of our spiritual journey here per Mayan teaching. It's fun and curious to be asking questions like that and making, like, assimilating all of this information that Jose Arguelles has presented to us in this modern age of the Maya. So the Blue Monkey Wave spell can feel more playful immediately and lighter and more childlike. And I'm just, you know, one thing, I was already playing my guitar lately because I have just been forcing myself to act normally in the middle of the eternal renovation process I'm in, which, you know, I actually have more habitable space, so I can do things that feel more normal. And so I started playing my guitar because I just felt like that was so far out of reach for, you know, the entirety of this blue lunar storm year to date. And then today when I was playing, so I'm referencing Blue Magnetic Monkey, I'm like, oh, here, that's right. I always play my guitar in the Blue Monkey Wave spell, because one of the things, you know, this wordplay about the play of Blue Monkey is that you can play music, you can play sports, you can play mind games, but playing music, I just think it's a natural instinctual response to the time. And I like to reference my way in the past ex-boyfriend who was the blue monkey named Monty, and I talk about him because he was named Monty, which is one alphabet letter different than monkey, and he loved to play all the musical instruments. So I just learned a lot from being with him about this tribe. Let's talk about what's challenging about Blue Monkey, the wave spell, in case your day is challenging or your wave spell has turned challenging. I mean, I've advertised it as less challenging than, let's say, Red Serpent, White Whirlbriger, Blue Storm, and Yellow Human. Wait, what? I did everything backwards. It was Red Skywalker, White Whirlbriger, Blue Storm, Yellow Human, Red Serpent, White Mirror. So that's actually just a ton of wave spells that I feel demand a lot of us in terms of immediate tangible growth. The favorite word, discomfort. Okay, so Blue Monkey, I don't know that it has that. I mean, I think immediately it feels refreshing and liberating and less serious, obviously, and more playful and magical. Like, that's what I got. Like, oh, the magic. I've missed the magic. What is magic, you know, in that context? When we started this 13-year wave spell last year, White Magnetic Wizard, I was stoked for that White Wizard vibe of enchantment. I do feel that Blue Monkey has a similar texture where you're just like, okay, I'm tripping out, things are magical. Tripping out on White Wizard, it's magical. Tripping out on Blue Monkey, it's magical. Blue Knight is another one. It's magical. It's kind of the similar ambience of magic where you're just all, what? It's so cool. You know, like, there are are things happening that are nonlinear and irrational, and they're dreamy, and it's awesome. It's awesome, the dream time entering the daytime. So Blue Monkey offers that because it is the totem of like magic and the magician, and Jose Arguelles was a Blue Monkey. So, you know, pay some respect or just feel how his vision is going to be amplified in this time. So if you're following the calendar, I think you get to feel in this time what it was like for him and what he bequeathed when he rose, he died. You know, like I've said a lot, like you get to stand in the footprint of other people when we enter their tribe. And that could be your friends and your beloved and children and parents and enemies, strangers, celebrities. And now it can be any of those and Jose Arguelles. And I think it's important not to only honor him. Like, I don't think he's the kind of person. I don't think this is the kind of path where we need to get all like, I could never have done it without him. You know, possibly not. We couldn't have had these access points without him, for sure. But he was given a gift, and the gift was given through him, and he knew that. And so he was a translator, and he was a channel, and he didn't have a big ego. I don't think he would have died. He was relatively young if he weren't good at surrendering and letting go. So the gift of being in the Blue Monkey Way spell is just being like, check out, like I said, different origin story, not the origin story of the original Maya, but the origin story of the natural time movement of the dream spell that he, you know, created through his meditative commitment. And I like it. I really do. It's obvious, but I just mean that I like his twist on things. It's really fun to integrate the Maya, like original Mayan feelings, sentiments. That's what I always, you know, draw on when I come up with something like, oh, we're going to talk about White Mirror as human sacrifice, not just reflection. But of course, it all starts with him for me. And in my lineage, he was my mother's teacher. So I just think it's great. It's great if we can figure out what he wants us to know. He's still somewhere in the universe. And this is all about staying in touch with the risen, ascended Maya. So I believe him to be one. But what would be challenging about Blue Monkey? I guess I was sort of thinking about what's challenging about him somehow. But, you know, what's challenging about Blue Monkey is it's deceptive. It's the magician can create, you know, illusions or delusions and can keep us from seeing things really clearly. And that can come back to bite us because a lot of things in this world are dependent on, you know, clear rational visioning instead of inventive imaginative interpretation. But I would say that the biggest threat or challenge to Blue Monkey, this freedom to be childlike, is yellow human and all the dynamics of that tribe. And my favorite book ever read by me on the planet is The Little Prince. And I think it's just the perfect detailing of this quandary, which is that children have imagination and adults don't. And they squelch imagination, and it's a terrible transition. It's traumatizing to leave childhood behind and become an adult and lose touch with all your faith and trust in your imagination and that imaginative world. And I think that's the tension point in the Blue Monkey Wave spell, is that we can feel really childlike and innocent, but be grappling with either an internal voice that tells us we're being dumb and need to stop it now, grow up, or an external kind of influence that is condemning us for these magical perceptions and freedoms that we feel in this time. Another challenge of Blue Monkey, maybe within the wave spell in some way, but maybe just moving through the world when you encounter the Blue Monkey people, Blue Monkey moments, is the what I call now you see it, now you don't. Like, you know, things slip out of your grasp because children all day long, you know, they would take everything they could get, but they're constantly being given boundaries. Like, no, 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 no. So children's whole tension point is like learning that slowly more and more things aren't available to them. I mean, more and more things because they move through life wanting all these different things, but are sort of chronically told, well, no, not that either, not that either, not that either. So every time you encounter something new in a childlike world, there are a bunch of new things you can't have. And so you start to shift your wanting to what within the limitations that are available to us. And so that becomes less imaginative. It's unbound. It's not unbounded. It's bounded. It's finite. So that becomes adulthood. And now you see it, now you don't, to me, is sort of like now you have a glimpse of like the childlike view of anything is possible and it feels so good and real. Now you don't. It was an illusion. It was like having an invisible best friend. You might think it's there and enjoy it, but other people don't. Now you see it, now you don't. In my own life has just really been a harsh karmic lesson where there's so many near misses. And I'll just give the example of, you know, how close I've come to having a widely published book on the subject of natural time, Mayan teachings with Sounds True. They're one of the preeminent New Age publishers, and I was accepted, and then they backed out of it, which I don't think that's fair, or, you know, I don't think that's appropriate if you say, yes, we want you, and then wait, okay, we changed our mind. But that was, you know, a potential moment of breakthrough, and it only lasted like 10 days before it disappeared, and I just felt like, ugh, that's the harshness of the Blue Monkey magic. And I really think that Jose Arguelles, who didn't, I mean, he had huge notoriety, you know, more than anyone else, but he didn't get what he was seeking, which is to kind of unify the world through these teachings. And so I think that's just part of his vibe in this lineage, is that there is no need for throngs and notoriety and a bunch of money attached to this path, commerce around it, but just rather the dedicated, you know, masters of imaginal openness. Okay, so I think I keep not answering the question that I was inviting, like, what's challenging? Okay, well, I think the last thing that's challenging is just... Okay, so when Blue Monkey days happen, you can always find like that moment, like, yeah, I thought that was real and then it wasn't. It was a trick. It was like, I got tricked, whoops. And sometimes it's like, I got tricked, ow, ow, that wasn't real. So, you know, you have 13 days of this. And so hold on, like on the magnetic day, you might have attracted something that felt really right and really good and really fun. And it is real, but it might not stay. You know, some sort of adult voice in looming in the universe is like, no, you can't have that. And, you know, you fight with that. Like, no, I do. I want it. I want my thing. No, no. Or, all right, are you sure you're ready for this? And, you know, these child-parent discussions taking place somehow in your life. I'm totally avoiding talking about the planetary moon. All I want to say about it is that we went through the third week in the West. It wasn't as emotional as some. Oh, that's not true. I mean, I cried so much. I just completely hit a wall, and my own issues in the planetary moon are so on high in terms of really volatile, self-destructive, you know, impressions of my goings on, just like, I'm terrible at everything. So, you know, that's not fun. And it is emotional. It is a grief experience to abandon your self-love. So like all that has happened for me in the third week in the West and in the whole moon itself. But I do feel like the planetary moon is just not as volatile in certain ways because it's planetary. It's a pretty solid planet. You know, yeah, there's some fluidity down there in the lava pits, but, you know, it's a pretty solid kind of bedrock state we've got here. And so when we are in the planetary time, there's like plate tectonic shifts, but I don't think that things are so fluid that you can feel. I mean, maybe that's not true. Maybe, I mean, I felt like I'm dissolving, I'm disintegrating recently. Like there's nothing left of me, but I actually know that what I'm going through, I forget, but I can remember here, is that I find it really hard to be on this planet incarnated. And that's been true the whole journey. And of course I find little pathways and time frames where it's not that bad, it's not that hard, and there's always something remarkable going on, and that's what the magic of this mystical walk feeds me. Like, no, that's remarkable. But in the planetary time, at least my goings on are just, they are less magical and mystical. It's just, that's just so. So maybe I'm just begging myself to kind of come turn back towards the magic and enchantment I was talking about earlier in the podcast. Reroute to, the place of magical synchronicity that really gets most of us to stay on this journey here through the calendar cycles. The planetary moon will end in a week. So there's this podcast where there's barely any mention. There's next podcast where I'll make some mention, and then we go over the cliff when the wave breaks and the spectral moon. Just want you to be awake to that. You know, people, again, like, oh, it's middle of the Zolkin. That's absolutely fun. I'm so glad we covered it. It's a bigger deal to be like, the spectral moon, you know, it's just coming. It's like going up the roller coaster, click, 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 knowing or not knowing what it'll feel like to drop over the other side. This week, so Sunday is Yellow Lunar Human, and I talked about that. It's a lunar day in the lunar year. Check that out. Check that out. If you are a yellow human person, I know I have a couple who listen, you can say, oh, it's where I intersect with the year. I'm yellow human. It's a blue lunar storm year. This is an interesting kind of crossover. What do I learn here? Then we have Red Electric Skywalker on Monday. I don't really have any orientation to that. But it feels like, how can I best be of service in the Blue Monkey Wave Spell is to be like walking in the sky. That's what kids do. It's all, I want to be a firefighter, policeman, astronaut, ballerina, you know, like I just want to live way out there in this unfettered way. That's how we can best be of service as Blue Monkey continues. And then White Self-Existing Wizard. And I'm just looking forward to that. You can tell that I have a hankering for that White Wizard, you know, fever pitch of identifiable enchantment. I'm ready for a hit of that. I'm ready for a reminder of the surrounding White Wizard 13 years, which has really gotten buried for me. The big picture of the White Magnetic Wizard, that first tone, like I talked about at the outset of this podcast, a whole year of magnetic, pretty intense. It was COVID, and now a whole year of lunar kind of coming again to the crest of that and over the other side, wave breaking, and then we'll be in an electric year. Doesn't mean everything will be easy, but it'll be less polarized. Wow, that'll be something interesting to look at culturally. Are we actually going to be less polarized when we're not in a lunar year? The country? Yeah, that's curious. So I'm glad that I could jam in another little iteration here, and that by that I mean I was early, not late. So you got an extra day out of me somehow. Like, I'm timely. Thanks. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.